Hi all, welcome back to the new improved Epic Haunts. We've been off for over a month, pretty much. We've been on holiday, I've been ill, and Simon's got someone else with him, apparently.
Simon is with you. And learn from the master.
He's taken over. He's now...
So, Daz is not really here full-time anymore, so apparently Chucky has now joined us.
Now, the first thing we got to do is get me out of this body once and for all.
I do apologise. If anyone is actually watching this and he's freaked out, I do apologise. He just sets himself off on his own.
You know, the funny thing is, that's not actually a robot. Simon is actually a ventriloquist.
he's our new little Halloween Horror Nights friend.
Hi.
I'll put him down now.
Right, guys, as I alluded, we have been away and we are back now. The show's changed a bit. Obviously, a new look to it. But also, I'm not going to be as friendly. So if I don't like something, I am going to say it. And if it upsets the community, that's fine. It can upset you. You can get back to us on all social medias and that, and we can have a friendly chat about it. But I'm not here to be, oh, everything is perfect like the mousetrap. Because if I think something's wrong, I love all these events, by the way. I just want them to be better.
Well, we always strive for things to be better. And this should take criticism as well as the praise. And probably from what you've already realised, there might be a little bit of criticism for today's episode.
Yeah, so we have got many episodes coming. But today is actually going to be about Halloween Horror Nights 31. We've got, obviously... Hello, Scream to come. We've got Tully's Shocktoberfest, and there's a few you've done as well in the UK, correct?
Yes, I've done a new one called Scare City, which is done by Park and Party, wandering through the old Camelot theme park, and there's one I'm doing tomorrow night, if my body will hold up, called Fear Factory Live in Darwin.
Also, guys, just before we go any further, if you hear someone coughing, it's me. It's like 2 years ago around this time of year, I have got a cough. When I get coughs, I can't get rid of them for about 6 weeks, it seems.
Yeah, and if you hear someone sneezing, that will be me.
Yeah.
So for some reason, we decided to record tonight, and I was fine all day, and then all of a sudden when I got home, my nose started running, my head started banging, and I think I'm coming down with a cold, so...
But on the bright side, I haven't got the Rona. I've done tests. I've got a testing site app where I work, so I get free tests. So it was interesting to see. So as I've been alluding to, we are Halloween Horror Nights 31. We both went in September. I was out there for the hurricane, by the way, guys. So this is before the hurricane as well. Simon was there before the hurricane. So just first things first, anybody who's been affected by the hurricane out there, our hearts with you, and we hope everything can be sorted as quick as possible. But that is not going to stop me from getting into this event. And I'm sorry, I'm going to start with a bang. It's probably the worst Halloween Horror Nights I've ever been to.
Well, I was going to use the words, it is good, but not great. So I think that actually sums it up for what we're both thinking about. Overall, it was, plain and simple, it was far too busy for my liking. I've seen it busy before. I've been there on busy Saturday nights. But some of them Wednesdays were literally unbearable. And I don't understand why. I can't figure out why. But whether it was oversold, I'm not too sure. It might be an impact of all the Brits coming back over and everyone being able to travel again. But it just seems to be a little bit too busy and far too loud. That could be just me being old, but the scare zones were extremely loud. Usually you can hang around in a scare zone, have a chat with a few friends, have a drink. We couldn't even do that. It was that loud, especially in the Sweet's Revenge. It was very loud, that scare zone.
Especially that screaming bit. Yeah. That didn't scare me. That annoyed me. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to hang around in that area because of that screaming, for one.
Yeah, it was quite loud. I'm sorry, I'm
and I also hate to say this, I think it spoiled the tribute store to do it through the event. It was so packed. It was like walking into a busy house. You're just in the conga line, and I just thought to myself, oh, I'll stuff this. I'm just going to go into it through the daytime. And yeah, it was a very good tribute store. So there you go, people. I'm not moaning about everything. It was a great tribute store.
Yes, it was. So anyway, enough about them. Let's tell you what, let's go into the... Did you rank the Skurr Zones, or did you just do what I did and say...
Before we do that, let's go into two things, the shows. Now, did you do the actual proper show at Fear Factor?
No.
Neither did I.
I didn't, because the queue... People... To get a decent... You need, the thing is with that is the seats are very uncomfortable. The bleacher seats, which are not very comfy. And I saw the queues queuing up for nearly an hour before. I'm sorry, but if I was going to spend an hour queuing, I'll do it for a house, not for a show. No disrespect to the people who've done that kind of thing. Just the dance troupes are not my thing. They never have been. The other group that shall not be named, I didn't see them. I literally walked... With it being on a mini stage when we went in 2015...
That was good.
I just walked past. You can walk in,
it was good.
Watch it, walk away.
That was
with
good
this one, you have to take a set amount of time out to your night to do it. And if you do like that kind of thing, fantastic.
It's great because it does move the crowds.
Yeah. But it's just not my thing. And Ghoulish, which, rest in peace.
Well, there's a chance he could return one for one day or something. It's not looking that good anymore. I don't think it's going to return. Obviously, if people are wondering what we're talking about, Ghoulish, the late show... basically, it's out of commission because of Hurricane Ian. Phil Mitchell should have got out
damaged.
There,
I don't think it's anything to do with the actual fountains. I think it's technical. Something wet, something in the lagoon that shouldn't get wet actually got wet. Yeah. It sounds like it, because if you saw the amount of rain that was dropped, everywhere was flooded.
I saw it.
Hulk was flooded. The footpaths were flooded. So. Something's got damaged, I think. Hopefully it comes back for the people who are going towards the end of the event, but I wouldn't hold your hands up on it. But I would say out of the two live ones I've seen, it's definitely number two. Doesn't come anywhere near Marathon of Mayhem. And the first bit I enjoyed, started to get into it, and then all of a sudden it turned to the weekend. Confused me a little bit.
I think the problem we're having, as you said, that one, it was lightning in a bottle, and it's never going to happen again.
No, but that's why I'm glad. That's why we said, I think we said in the preview show, I'm glad they called it Ghoulish and not Marathon of Mayhem again, like they did last year. I think it was better because it wasn't called that, so no one was actually, I wasn't comparing it to it. I was watching it as a separate thing. But it literally had their own concepts, which was quite a nice story going through it. But then all of a sudden, it kind of ended in the middle, and then it was the weekend for 10 minutes, or 10 minutes, whatever it was. Which I understand that he is the headline act, and he's the one who's brought the money in for this event. So
what did you give it out of 10?
It is, but...
I gave it a 6.
I'd probably round about the same, 5.5, 6. It was something, I've watched it once, I didn't need to watch it again.
It wasn't like Marathon Mayhem you wanted to watch at least two or three times. As I said, lightning in a bottle, and it's never going to happen again, I don't think. I'm not sure what they would do next. But it's another take away the crowds, but it's not taking the crowds like Marathon and Mayhem. So they've really got to sit down and think, what can we do next year to make this different? I think they've got to totally change it. Music's great in that, but maybe if you could get the Crypt Keeper, whatever it's called, American thing. If you could have a storytelling thing there instead bit of background music, that could all work. But anyway, so that is shows out of the way. So Simon, you were alluding to which one, Skurr Zones or houses?
Yeah, the Skurr Zones first, because to be fair, I was really, really looking for fair. Yeah. I was looking forward to it because to me what they were advertising and what you could see, they was going back to the old kind of Skurr Zones. But they weren't. They were just very loud. Some of them you couldn't even see the costumes because the lighting was a bit naff. Very, very, very English word that. But it was, there was some good actors in there. There were some very good costumes, but there was just something missing. I think we were saying it while we were there, while we were walking through the Skirtles. There was something missing from the event. And a lot of people have alluded to at the moment on all the podcasts about the theme park loop, the music. To be honest, I didn't hear it. It was that loud at some points. I couldn't even hear the music in the quiet areas. It was just loudness everywhere. And that could be me getting old. Could be me not getting used to this kind of thing. But it just didn't... That, it felt like there was a lot of potential. And it just fell flat on some of the Skirtles for me.
I'll tell you what I thought of them. I like a pattern to an event at Halloween Horror Nights now. I've realised it, and I just felt like these were all over the place. Let's have this, let's have that. You know, make everyone happy, and it doesn't work for me. Let's have like a pattern, a sort of, I can't think of the word I'm thinking of. It's the tip of my tongue and it's gone. Like a theme.
Yeah.
Right? So they can be totally different, but have them themed so they all mesh together. So, as we've talked about, don't get me wrong, I've seen some really bad ones. Some of them weren't as bad as others. I mean, should we go for our scare zones? Five being the worst and one being the best. See how much we agree each other. Have you done
well,
that?
Well, I didn't even rank them because, like I said, there was none that stood out to me.
Okay, well, let me rank them, then we can talk about them individually. So my worst one, Horrors of Halloween, what was in Production Central. I just walked through it. I can't really, apart from the pumpkins on the big frame, and obviously the Pumpkin Lord, was awesome, that bit there, the rest of it.
I've got a thing about the Pumpkin Lord. It fell completely and utterly flat for me. He was, I don't know whether it was just me, or they tried to make him comedic by farting and fire coming out the back and stuff. It just didn't work.
Well, that comes back to the events, what we've had a chat about since we've been back in England. We think the event's not getting pushed to adults anymore. We think it's more, they're trying to push it out, more teens, more family friendly. And Horror Nights, I don't know if you probably don't listen to this show, but any of the other podcasts out there, I'd love to know what you think as well. But I love this because it was pushed to adults, and now it's becoming a teen thing. Now, it's not because of my age. You know, I can be out of touch with music and that as long as it's proper scary still and that. And this event is not scary anymore.
No.
People can pretend it's scary. It's not scary. People who, on some podcasts, who have only been going about 5 years as well, I've even looked back, you know, I've read Christopher Ripley's book and that. This is not Halloween Horror Nights anymore. This is Halloween Nights to me now.
Yeah, well, this is why... This will allude into my actual hype list. Well, not my hype list, but my actual top 10 for the houses. Because that's how I rank stuff in how I enjoyed it and how I got scared. And I don't think I got any major scares anywhere.
I got one jump scare. And to let people understand this, I think I had two or three at the UK event, Tully's Shocktoberfest. Now that, because we'll get into that in the future on the Tully Shocktoberfest episode, what I thought was very clever with their scare actors. Right, so Horrors of Halloween, though, apart from the Pumpkin Lord, what did you think of it?
It was like most of the scare zones. It was just a way to get from A to B.
I don't know if that scare zone area works anymore, because I feel like it is just to get to house.
It used to. The only time I've seen it work is when it was the Path of the Wicked back in 21. And that's what I was thinking was going to happen, where they had the Pumpkin Lord up there and when they had the Wicked Witch. But it was set vocals from the Pumpkin Lord, where I was thinking it was going to be a mic'd actor talking to people. Can you imagine if the Pumpkin Lord was actually mic'd up, there was a person there, and they're just doing these cues, was stood there talking, saying, "Oh, you in the blue. You are now going to be my minion."
See, that's what's bugging me. What I mean? It's time to start trusting the scare actors. Like, which is WWE. Yeah. For years, everything totally scripted. Vince is gone. Triple H is letting the wrestlers out with a little script, but he's letting them improvise. Yeah. And it's so much better now. I'm wrestling. I've watched all my life. And for the last 10 years, I was just skipping through everything. Yeah. Now there's interviews and that. I sit there and listen now because you know, they're coming out. AEW as well, they're letting the wrestlers do it. And I think Halloween Horror Nights need to start trusting the scare actors. And that will come back in the house as well, the scare actors. So some
I think that's probably the reason why a lot of these houses that I've got at the bottom of the list are because of that actual method of it being a cue, a talking cue. Because if it's a mic'd actor and the actor's not there, there's no noise. But when there's an actual noise and you hear the as if someone's come out to do the slash with a knife and there's nobody there, you're like, well, what was that? And that happened quite a lot in a lot of houses.
Yeah, well, we'll get back to the houses because there was a lot of things quite buggy about this year. Right, so, Horrors of Halloween. Sorry, people, about the coughing. In production central is fifth. So, fourth for me. Now, this is the one beforehand, everyone knows I was looking forward to this one, and Simon was right. Number four is Scarecrow, Curse Soil, Central Park. One, not enough scare actors. Two, too dark. And two, three, too busy.
Yep, I said it from the start. That is a very massive choke point. And I was right. And don't want to put a negative on that, but when veterans and seasoned veterans and people who are around know that that's going to be a choke point, you need to find another way of doing that. Putting the sets in there that they did, a barn with no roof, it just made it worse. People were trying to stop to take pictures, and I think that's the reason why the lighting was a little bit off, is to get people to walk through quicker. But it just didn't work. I can see what they was going for. Don't get me wrong, some of the scares, actually we'll get to the one with the best scares in the scare zone were, but when it came to the scare actors, they had a few stilt walkers. People were up on the top of the barn area.
If you could see them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you couldn't see them. And there was a scare zone in another event that did this, and it worked. So there's just something about that area. It's just too much of a choke point, especially when Ghoulis let out.
I tell you the problem with the barn as well, and this will happen with another one as well, but it's actually higher up, and you should be shocked, was the downstairs scares. You could see a mile off where they were coming out. You couldn't see them properly. So, yet again, don't make it so dark. What is the point of doing loads of makeup, loads of like brilliant mask and that, and then we can't see it properly? Unless, I know what people are shouting right now. Well, show up at the start of it because it meant I don't want to be in a haunt event in daylight.
No. It's not a haunt event. It's not the point. Yeah. I've got nothing. If they want to go all out with the costumes and make them so intricate that they look fantastic, let us see it.
Yeah,
add a little bit of light. There is ambient lighting you can have in areas to make it flash up, which we'll get to when you get to that scare zone, which actually did work. So it can be done. They've done it in the exact same event that they've done this year. Just take it around the event. Don't just loot it to one area and try and keep it that way. Which, to be fair, I understand why they did it, because the lighting would have affected Ghoulis a little bit. But I expected better. I was proven right with that scare zone.
Yeah, by the way, if you're not going to have a show next year where Ghoulis was, I've got an idea. Let's put a bar down there.
No, there's plenty of bars this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, guys, but if we're going to go by theme or by bars, Hello Scream showed up Halloween Horror Nights. But I do have an idea, and I will come out of that later on. It gets to do a house thing, actually. So we're going to move on to the next one. My third, what seems to be a lot of people's favourite, but maybe because I'm British, I just don't get the whole ancient Halloween walking down the streets, rubbish looking people dressed up. Right, loads of people throwing tomatoes and probably bricks at me right now. Number three for me was Sweet Revenge in New York. Well, you know why. One reason we didn't like it was noise. Second, we didn't like the crowd. And two, as I just alluded to, I've heard people amazed by the costumes. I could have made them costumes. I know the idea is meant to be old style Halloween, but
to be honest,
it's not scary.
I was looking forward to that one as well. as what it was going to be like. It was going to be the essence of Halloween, and it was. But you couldn't really see much of it unless you got there early, which, if you were using it as a stay and scream area, good luck. Say no more. But the if you, or the last thing at night when it was quieter, because it always seemed to be busy. There was, in that zone alone, you had, I think, three houses.
You had the amazing houses.
The three
tribute store.
You had a lot in that little area, but because they weren't using the side streets, which I know you said there's no point using them side streets, they weren't using them because obviously they'd just been repaved and one of them was being used for food. But then there's the other one behind it near Finnegan's, and they didn't use it at all because it was still being paved. But if they just spread it out a little bit more rather than have it all in that area outside the tribute store, because that's what it felt like. It felt like, I understand what they were going for. You're going through the tribute store and then you're going into a parade, Halloween parade, after you've been through the tribute store. But that area was just chock-a-block. We had a beer with a couple of listeners, Joe and Craig, in that area. Craig Willocks and Joe and his wife. I can't remember her name. Sorry. Don't at me. Well, you can at me because I'm an asshole forgetting the name. But it's... We sat there and we were probably there, what, 25, 30 minutes? And I nearly lost my voice from shouting.
Was that a Wednesday night?
I think that was a Wednesday night. And we were just stood at the corner near the exit.
That was the night I had to buy express passes at 11 p.m. There was just no option whatsoever.
Well, we'll get onto that before we go into the houses, what tickets.
The problem is for me is because it looked so kiddified, is the best way to put it. Even Scare Actors jumping in my face. Apart from the man who was the mayor, the rest of them, I was like, what? I get more scared watching kids shows on YouTube.
Yeah. Like that. Well, so don't get me wrong, the sets, the float things.
The floats were brilliant.
You can see that in the brand new intro. You'll see the float, and it was great. But it just fell flat. There was something missing.
It's something missing for us, but clearly for being so busy, it must be a lot of people's favourites. So it's missing for me and Simon, but for the rest of you, I honestly wish I was an American. Maybe I would have appreciated it so
much. It doesn't matter. It's like you alluded to earlier on with the cues for the screaming. That screaming must have been a cue for something in that scare zone. But what? I didn't see anything in that scare zone which warranted that loud scream. And it was probably every 10, 15 minutes. So was he supposed to be a show in there? The prime example, that booth. What was it? The judge's booth.
I never saw
anything going on with that at all.
I never got the hay thing either with the chopped off heads. Yeah. What was that meant to do with that? I didn't get it. It just seems like they had a brilliant set thing there and they thought, we'll just throw it here. Now, yet again, people listening, if you know more than us and we've missed something, my God, get in touch with us and explain to us, and maybe we'll appreciate it more. But this is why it worries me as well. So Halloween 3, isn't it? The witch, the mask thing one.
Oh, Season of the Witch.
Yeah, this puts me off of a house now, because it would have been set sort of same sort of thing.
No, Halloween 3 would be probably set in a factory.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it's still going to be the same rubbish. For me, people, I'm reiterating, same rubbish costumes sort of things. And meh.
Well, Halloween 3, you only see the kids at the very end with the masks. But there was a lot of the androids in suits. So they could have been... Well, we'll see. We never know. We might get Halloween 3. Mike Aiello has alluded that he's really trying his best to get it.
Okay, well, I hate keep on bashing the area, so we're going to move on. I mean, it's number 3 and I'm bashing it. What the hell? But that says what I think about scare zones. So number 2, now people are probably thinking, this is a weird one, Conjuring in the Dark in San Francisco. Now, this one, plain and simple, wasn't great either, but I liked the lady on the show bit, standing up there doing a show.
We alluded and to it, it should have been mic'd.
Yeah, and I think the demons looked awesome.
Yeah, and that's the bit I was alluding to earlier on about the scares and the actual timing. Oh, literally, they're in a boo hall. They come out to a queue, which I think they're setting, and it lights up. There was a light with the queue, so you could see the scare actor rather than just hearing this noise and seeing nothing. You actually saw the scare actor lit up, and it worked. And that's what I was alluding to, where I said they actually got the scares in that scare zone.
I stopped in that area quite a few times just to watch the show as well. Even though I knew what she was going to say, I liked standing there because I knew all the demons and that were going to come over as well, and you'd see them properly. You'd appreciate it more. So that's what I liked about that one. And it wasn't overcrowded, what was quite a shock.
No, it still was a choke point, but not as bad as somebody won, because he actually set the stage back towards the Fast and Furious exit, which worked. But if you were just walking in a straight line and it was completely packed, you wouldn't have seen it and you would have walked straight past it. That's the only drawback to that one, I think, on mine.
So clearly,
the bar was good as well.
Yeah, even though it was raining when we went to it.
Yeah, well, I've still got a long and nice tea, because I'll just quickly rant about this. When you advertise that there is mixed drinks and it says Jack Daniels Black, no. That's just Jack Daniels. Don't put a black in it when it's just Jack Daniels. The Jack Daniels Black to me is a cocktail. So, never mind. But I did get a nice, like, Long Island iced tea off the guy, and it was very nice. And
very good, very nice.
Definitely set me off for the night, especially with 3 Dufftoberfest after it.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that night towards the end, people. We'll shout a few names out, and unfortunately, I can't remember one person's name, but he's an absolute legend. So, obviously, number one, I think it's going to be a lot of people's number ones this year as well. Graveyard Deadly Unrest in Hollywood. This was the only one that really, really felt old school Halloween Horror Nights for me.
Well, I've got a confession to make. I only went through this twice. And the two times I did go through it, I did enjoy it. I just didn't spend any time in that area. I'll allude to it later, but we just didn't spend time in that area. We always went straight because that's where most of the houses were. And coming out of the event, we always found ourselves drifted off to the right towards Transformers.
Fair enough. So I'll explain why I like it. One, I like the sets. Two, they used the fog and lightning with lights perfectly here. Characters are brilliant. And the ones that were like acting like statues and that, brilliant. Just had everything I wanted, this one. This felt like a proper horror. Not Halloween, horror like that. And that's what made it more exciting for me.
Yeah, and that's perfectly understandable. And that's what it is. But like I said, I had a good walkthrough on the last night, and I did enjoy it. I didn't get the skeletons about being like 7 foot tall with flashing light lit heads. I didn't get that bit. But
that's a good point. But the rest was very good.
But other than that, yeah, the makeup was great. The actors were great. The sets were fantastic.
I think it'd make a good house.
It probably will do at some point. Yeah. But you just gotta try and think about a better way of actually making things look like ghosts.
Yeah, well, it's important, unless you're gonna start having projectors and that, like 3D projectors, you're not gonna ever really gonna get ghost eye with the smoke and that. It's never gonna happen. So that bit I have to let them off. I mean, this isn't Universal's movies making this, so. But other than that, yeah, I enjoyed that one the most. So as I said, from number 5, Horrors of Halloween. Number 4, Scarecrow Cursed Soil. Number 3, Sweet Revenge. And number 2, Conjuring the Dark. And my number 1 was Graveyard Deadly Unrest.
I cannot argue with any of that. That's probably roughly where I would have put mine as well.
I bet there's a lot of people who is.
Well, if they have, like I've seen it in the community, everyone is entitled to opinion. Just don't be that person who doesn't like the other person's opinion and have to be nasty towards them. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It's as simple as that.
They won't like the next podcast when I talk about something that make a show at Hello Screams.
We might have to disappear for a few weeks after that one.
Yeah, might have to go witness protection.
Yeah.
We just sound like two grumpy old men, but we're not. I mean, seriously.
We are.
We're not grumpy old men. I think the problem was the last one we went to with Halloween Horror Nights 29 and 28 was so good that we've come back and we're like, this is not Horror Nights.
Yeah, but there is a transition period I think they're going through. They need to find the feet again.
I just want to say as well, people, Simon says about transition period. It's not just that as well. We know a lot of IPs, what probably were meant to happen this year, fell to the side, and they had to quickly change things as quick as possible. So well done for that, guys, totally, because this is not easy at all. So scare zone-wise, the only two I really, truly loved was Graveyard and Conjuring the Dark. They were probably the closest to what I call Halloween Horror Night scare zone.
Yep. I can't disagree with that at all.
Talk about it, though, before we do move across to the houses. Horror's a Halloween area, Production Central. Well, I've always alluded we need an area where only one place you can have selfies with the characters. Can we just not change that to like the special scare zone where we have normal four scare zones and that one is the area where we can have our photos?
I think we've passed that time now, mate. That was probably 2015. Since then, everyone's got a decent phone in the pocket.
Yeah, but what
and
I'm
they
saying,
want to take pictures.
It's simple.
Everybody wants it for the gram. And
yeah, I get
it doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah, but people Listen, this is how I do it. You're my scare actor. Right, guys. In Production Central, selfies galore, I don't care. But in Central Park, New York, San Francisco, and Hollywood, if they try and do a selfie with you, you either try and scare them or you just walk off.
Well, that's what they was doing in 2015. They did it in the driving double feature, the black and white and the colour characters. They ignored people with selfie sticks and things. They ignored them the best they could.
I just think Halloween
it's got
Horror
to that
Nights.
Point now. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok. It's got that big now. Universal are going, yeah, just let them take it because it's free advertising.
Yeah, but they can take pictures of the area but not stop a scare actor. You don't need it physically. Hey, come here, get in a picture with me. Now, I'm guilty of it in the past, but I just think there's a simple answer to this. You just say four scare areas, you can take pictures, you can go through it, taking video, but we are not going to let the scare actor stop and do a selfie with you. We want the scare actors in this area to actually do what they're meant to do, scare you.
I'm an advocate for that, but it just will never work. Universal don't want that. People don't want, they don't want confrontation anymore. Well, it's easy for just, I'll stop doing it.
That's me on this show. And anybody who doesn't agree with me, I will totally disagree with you here. If you want five selfie areas, you're not having a true event anymore because it's like, yeah, look at me, get a photo. I'll grow up. Enjoy what you're there for. You haven't paid there to go selfie central. You've paid there to have fun, try and be scared in that. But if I'm a scare actor, I can't scare this guy. He wants a photo with me. I might break his phone. He's going to then go on and moan about it and I could lose my job. So one area. Come on, Universal. Let's do it.
Well, they may do one day, but I very much doubt it.
Wimps.
I know.
Okay, we're back to recording now because I refuse to pay for Zoom anymore because I had loads of problems, funny enough, since I've moved my studio around. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, can you see my new background and what do you think of it? My new host now, Simon.
You know who I am. And if you know what's good for you, you are going to love and obey.
And if you didn't get all that from Chucky, you're going to love, honor, and obey, and tell all your friends to listen to Epic Horns.
You got your wish. You're mine now.
Okay, go off.
Oh, Simon's back.
Learn from the master.
Yeah. So just a quick one, Simon, before we get into the horror night houses, where did you get that Chucky from?
I got that from Spirit Halloween.
And that
the
was
best $90 I ever spent.
Well, on Tassel Drive. And if anybody's watching on YouTube, you can see the It photo and the Michael Myers, the boogeyman thing. What's quite good, because I actually watched Halloween's End today. I got them from there as well. And I'm hoping there's going to be one there again next year, because I always used to say something, I hate my background. Now, I think this looks miles better.
Yeah.
We did the show. So I feel like I've got something what looks more like it now. So if you listen on the podcast, go and check us out on Epic Multiverse. What will be actually changing into Epic Haunts only soon. But
And
we'll
explain that.
We'll explain
that another day.
Yeah, we'll explain that in the future. But go and watch us and you'll see our backgrounds. Most shows, we will have videos coming up and photos coming up with so much stuff. But as this is our first day back, we just wanted to talk in depth. So yet again, before I go any further, guys, subscribe to us on Epic Multiverse on YouTube. It's free. And obviously, subscribe and follow us on all good podcast apps and share us with your mates out there.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. It's so free. let's get into it, guys. Halloween Horror Nights 31. My list. Simon, have you got a list?
Yes, I have got a list for this.
So we'll work our list together. So you do your 10, I'll do my 10, and we'll see how much we're in conjunction.
We'll go back and forth.
Okay. So we'll start with mine first. Number 10 for me, I hate it. I just wasn't a fan of it. And I have a reason for that, because I was trying to get to Scare Actor Dining, what we are going to be talking about at the end of this episode, and you don't want to miss that. I had to go through that because of that. Hellblock Horror. I hated it.
Well, my number 10, Spirits of the Coven. It's Neighbor Next Door.
Number 9.
my number 9 is Hellblock Horror.
And well, there you go. Let's go through both of them. We'll start with Hellblock Horror. For me, Hellblock Horror. I hate that name as well, by the way, especially with my lisp and that. And my tongue-tied problems I have. Hellblock Horror, to me, was too dark. I'm not into the history as much as you as Halloween Horror Nights. So look at them monsters, what it meant to be in there. Half of them, I didn't know what they were, so didn't mean anything to me.
You're not the only one, mate. I am a advocate for Halloween Horror Nights, but I didn't recognize any of them Universal Classic Monsters or whatever they classed them as from the event. Nothing clicked. You could tell it was rushed. You couldn't tell it was going to be something else. So they got that bit right, because if it was supposed to be Evil Dead, they definitely changed it so it wasn't Evil Dead. But I just didn't know what was going on, and I didn't recognize any of the monsters on the fingers in it. Excuse me. And the only reason why I put it at number 9 instead of number 10 is because Old Smokey was in there. Old Smokey, if you don't know what it is, it's the electric chair with a guy buzzing out. I've always loved Old Smokey. Every house he's ever been in, it's always been fun. But that's the only reason why it got number 9 for me.
I tell you what bugged me with Hellblock Horror as well, as I cough away here, trying to keep my breath. The line for it, that was a wasted house. That whole studio bit was wasted. I would have found another way to do another line there, even half that line, half, and I would have put a bar in there.
Possibly. But the queue never warranted the bar. So
But that's what I mean. A bar, not for the queue, just a bar, a themed bar. It would have been so much better that way.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, again, took more credit. Because let's be truthful, the themed bars were rubbish. They weren't proper themed.
No.
Not what I was...
No, they made it. They made them all. They actually were all kind of the same. But then, it fell a little flat with the bars. But going on to them, one, Spirit of the Coven, I just didn't have a clue what was going on.
By the way, is that what an American witch is meant to look like? Basically, just a normal human.
Normal human with a twisted nose. I don't know. I honestly don't know, mate. That's what I mean.
Roald Dahl witches were scarier than that.
Yeah, I don't know what. I only went through the premise that it was a 1940s or 50s speakeasy or something, or 1918.
What is obviously a secret 20s. Hidden away alcohol thing when it was prohibition. But
it had a witch making out with a dead guy, which didn't make any sense whatsoever. You had a guy in a butcher's room.
You had the barman as well. Just all he did was smash a bottle on the bar.
And I might be funny, but that guy with the piano, he was funny. Wasn't scary. Just going... No, sorry. It just didn't.
People, you really have got to watch this on YouTube.
I just didn't get it. And whether I missed something completely...
There was a couple of, towards the end, more gruesome-looking things. But like that, you'd be walking past and there'd be one would come up behind you. And if you didn't turn around, you wouldn't even see the guy. I mean, what's the point? I mean, I hate being like this, mate. I really do. But the first two houses...
We always said we'll be honest. That's our honest opinion about these two. So, I'll move us on to number eight. But my 8, 7, 6, 5, and 4 could have been any of these mixed up, to be fair. I just put them in an order.
I knew.
Yeah. But number eight for me was Halloween.
That's so weird because that's not my number 7, because number 8 for me was Fiesta del Chupacabras.
Right, that was a little bit high for me.
So let's go to Halloween first, as we both got that quite close to each other.
Yeah, Halloween, it's Halloween. It's exactly what I expected it to be. There was some cues in there where you could see there was supposed to be 2 screen actors, and I didn't run through it twice, or 3 times, I think. But there was a queue where there was supposed to be 2 square actors and there was only ever 1.
Right. The bits I liked about it, before I go to the bits I hated, I loved that we went in first and we thought, oh, we're not going to see the house.
Yeah, yeah.
That was clever. They outsmarted us.
Yeah, you walk through the bedroom, see the kid.
Yep.
Which wasn't a kid. The one we saw, the one I did see was maybe small. Whoever that square actor was in there, she or he, whatever the binary it is now.
And
it was great.
I liked a bit with the mannequins and the real people. The only thing I would have said, what was a problem with that is you could see the real people just slightly twitching, so you knew who it was. Now, I still liked it because the way they moved and they still scared a lot of people. What I would have done with their mannequins, I would have had someone come underneath what slightly made them wobble. Not dead still, because then you're looking at, because the real person can slightly move as well, and you're looking and going, which one is it?
There's an even simpler solution. Very, 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 very slow strobe. Works perfect every time.
Yeah, not super fast strobe, like a house in Tully's Oktoberfest. What nearly blinded me.
But a slow strobe, you walk in, you see all these Michaels, and within that next one, showed the ones in your face. It's a simple effect. I think they were going for the Jack Presents way, because Jack Presents 25 Years of Monster Mayhem, when they had the Jack Room at the end.
I'll just say, though, as a house, it looked beautiful.
Yeah. To be honest, a lot of the houses looked beautiful. There was nothing really bad that you could say about the set design and what they put into the houses, but there was just... the generic bits. Sorry about this if you're watching that, guys.
Okay, so my number 8 was obviously Fiesta del Chupacabras. Apart from a couple of times seeing the Chupacabras, what looked awesome.
Yeah.
I just was like, meh. The story didn't make real much sense to me. The sacrificing visitors who come to the town. Now, that's well and good, but come on. This is like EastEnders, Coronation Street people in England. I would know not to go to that town on them dates. Like, I would know not to go to Albert Square and that, and Coronation Street, Christmas Day or New Year's Day, because I'm going to die. I wouldn't be there. So I liked it if this was meant to be the first time, but it wasn't. We were alluded to this is a sacrifice, what happens all the time. As I said, the Chupacabras were brilliant. Scare actors masking that wasn't scary to me. It's just people in sort of normal mask what things actually do happen out in places like that. So to me, yeah, again, aesthetically look great. Scares, pretty low for me.
Yeah, yeah. So that was your number.
That was my 8, and obviously Halloween was my 7. So what's your 7?
My 7 was Horrors of Blumhouse.
Ooh, very different for me, and you'll see later where mine came.
Horrors of Blumhouse, I enjoyed that one quite a lot, actually, because we went through with Ash from the RIP tour. Me and Julie went through.
The night I wasn't allowed in, it was typical.
Yeah, well, that's not my fault. Should have got a better ticket.
I did have a better ticket. I just didn't know Ian was going to ruin my ticket.
we just met up with Ash. We went through that because I didn't allude to it earlier. I was going to say I was. But me and Julie end up bumping up to Express for the whole event while we were there for Rush for Fear, because it was just too busy and we couldn't stand the queues and the waiting. But yeah, we went through that. He had a quick chat with Jess. Unfortunately, I forgot to say hello from HN365 because we're all in the Express queue. And I enjoyed the way you went from it, because technically it was tight 2 mini houses together. When we get to a bit of a break. Yeah, you had a freaky bit, then you had a break, and then you went through the black phone bit.
Yeah. When we get to my part of the list where it is, I'll explain why I liked it.
Well, the main reason why it's further down my list is freaky didn't really work. But the black phone did. But the problem is with the black phone, there was just too many masks. It was literally the same skirt every time, and it didn't work for me. That's why it's just so low.
Fair enough. So we're going to move on to number six. My number six was one of my hopefully to be favourites. Simon's probably gone to blow his nose. Was Bugs Eaten Alive. Why have I put this six, people? The bugs looked like something out of Doctor Who. It's a Doctor Who house for me. I'm going to call these houses like, which one was it? It was the cinema one. Doctor Who.
Cinema.
Yeah. It's got like some of the characters that were Doctor Who files. Like you see the baddies, the aliens. This was my Doctor Who house. So I love Doctor Who as a show. And thank God that Chimble is gone very soon, by the way, Doctor Who fans, and we're getting a decent guy to run the show again. Hey, very close, wow. Guys. It's nearly over. But yeah, it was Doctor Who acting. It was Doctor Who bugs. Apart from the holes in the face being what scares, I know some people have a phobia to it. It wasn't scary. It was a comedy house to me.
Yeah, and that's why it was further up my list, which I'll get to when we get to it.
Okay, but what is your number six?
My number six is The Weeknd, After Hours Nightmare.
Never up on my list.
I enjoyed it. I saw what they was doing with it, but I watched a first version of the house, and then I watched the version that we went through, because there was changes within that first week.
And I preferred most of it.
And I preferred the original bit. I didn't. It was called. It's for me. It was called After Hours Nightmare. And when you're putting Dawn FM songs in it, it's not After Hours Nightmare anymore. It's just The Weeknd. You might as well just call it The Weeknd House. And for that reason, that technicality, because don't get me wrong, the scores were good, the actors were good, the songs were good, except for when they changed them. That's the reason why it gets number six for me. You called it The Weeknd After Hours Nightmare, and then you added songs because people didn't recognise them as much from a different album into it. Well,
when we get to mine, I'll explain why I enjoyed it. Let's move to number five. What's your number five? My five and four could have swapped.
Well, it's to say it was, you've already mentioned it. It was Fiesta de Chupacabras, because I did this after Screw Actor Dining, and it helped. It helped me enjoy it a bit more, because that lady was quite intensive when it came to the actual Screw Actor Dining. And we'll say no more about that until later on.
Okay, so my number five was Descendants of Destruction. By the way, this looked awesome. And as I say, this could have easily been my number four as well. But I just loved how you progressed through the music bit. I loved, by the way, people, if you're listening and you're going to moan about spoilers, I love going through the tube train.
Yep. Well, yep. That is the main reason why it's a little bit further up with me. And another reason, which we'll get to when we get to mine.
So have you done your five yet? I'm so lost.
Yeah, you were lost. Well, I got challenged in this house by a certain somebody, and I picked up on it. So I'm actually quite...
Oh, this was our night of our chat, wasn't it? I remember him saying about this. I did do it since then, so...
That's why, not on a technicality, but that was the first time going through the house, and I actually spotted something that was from another house from years ago, and I got it straight away. And I didn't think I would, because when... this person challenged me. I thought, am I going to get this right or not?
Okay, so are we on to your number five now?
No, not my number five. My number four is Bugs Eaten Alive, all because of giant grub, giant grub, giant grub, giant grub.
Didn't they get rid of the giant grub?
He was in there every time I went through it. It was
I'm
great.
I'm sure I heard something on a podcast they got rid of it. I'm sure it moved over to Alice Graham.
No, was it not the giant fly?
They got something was taken away.
Yeah. But the giant grub guy in the corner and the jiggly spider. I don't like spiders. I hate spiders. But that every time I went through and I saw that spider jiggling away like that, I thought, that was cute. And it made me laugh and made me giggle. And I had a big smile on my face every time I went through it. So It has to be up there in the top.
That's your number four. Well, my number four is, we're finally getting to one that you've already had, The Horrors of Blumhouse. Now, there was a couple of good scares in the first part, as you said, Freaky Friday, whatever it's called. And I hated, and I'm going to irritate, this is why I might probably put it lower. I hated the what was meant to be window screens, and you saw like murders and him.
Yeah, it was,
it was used too
male,
much.
It was the male and female fight bits, if you want to call it.
It was used too
much. I understand why they used screens, because they didn't want to actually use people, because people get offended now. They use the screens to show the fight. They did it with Freddy versus Jason, it worked perfect. But when it comes to this, it did really need scare actors jostling back and forth with it for it to work. I understand why they did it, because of the logistics, and obviously you'll have a giant male and a small female fighting in a house. It's gonna offend and upset.
Yeah, and I thought,
so I understand why they did it, but it did bring it down a bit.
One of the reasons it got there for me, it had the murderer of the teacher when he was sawn in half. For his body, that was awesome, but it got so high with me just plain and simple because of the better movie at the second. But what everyone didn't think, I forgot his name, so that's why I'm trying to pretend.
Black phone.
There we go. The Black Phone was brilliant. I know Simon said there was mask was too repetitive, but for a movie, what we all saw, what basically was hardly any scenes, was so clever. I mean, I got the van with the balloons, won me straight away. I got the part when he's falling asleep on the chair.
Yeah.
I loved that bit.
To be honest, when we went through that, I actually did think that was a scare actor. That was a very well done puppet
mannequin. I just thought it was so well done as a house. I mean, and a lot of people have been slating, for good reason, for the last couple of years, Blumhouse houses. And I feel like Blumhouse finally found the formula. Don't mesh two movies together. If you're going to do two movies, you made it into two separate houses, houses, and you did the best parts of both, and it was perfect for me that way. Not perfect enough to be the top, but for a Blumhouse movie, loved it. Really,
well,
it
you were correct in our pre-show. You did say that Black Phone wouldn't do a house on its own, neither would Freaky, and it did work with it. They did it like two mini houses, and it worked. It did work.
So let's move on to your number three. And now this will be interesting, because obviously I think there's two left that you and me haven't said yet. So I think we're going to be quite close. So what are your number three?
Well, my number three, and this is probably a lot of people's number one, possibly even yours, Dead Man's Pier, Winter's Wake. It's my number three because the set's fantastic. Absolutely gorgeous house to walk through. And that's it. That's why it's number three. The scares, no. I'm sorry, but the masks were great. The scare actors were great. But they were so predictable. I never once felt like I was going to get anywhere other than looking at sets. I watched the violinist from three different angles. And I understand that's what you were going for. You were going for like the pier town effect. And it worked great. But you could see the scurs two, three corners away. And it just didn't work for me. But the sets were fantastic and the costumes were great. The atmosphere was fantastic. Nice and cold. But it just wasn't any scurs for me.
I'm going to move on to my number three, because obviously I'll talk about Dead Man's Pier in a minute. Or probably is your number one, funny enough. Universal Monsters Legend Collide. Now, this got better every time I went through it. I feel like they got more scare actors in there. I mean, the first time I went through it, I think I saw Dracula once. And I swear, towards the end, I saw him two or three times. I saw Wolfman more. And towards the end, I loved the bit when we finally... Was it the Mummy one when we went through it together? And he actually had the Wolfman's head in his... Yeah, that didn't happen the first time. So straight away. And I saw Dracula dead and everything. So I just thought they improved it so much. I don't know if it was because, you know, they couldn't get scare actors in straight away and more were like doing finishing other jobs and they were moving across and moving.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to do Halloween Horror Nights in mid-October when it's really gunning. But I'm sorry, people, I've looked at prices and it cost me $2,000 more to travel. And unless I win the lottery, that ain't worth it. So that was my number three. Brilliant house. Over every Universal Monster House I've seen, even the one we couldn't go and do, I think they look awesome. Yeah. But I'm a bit worried now. I don't want one next year because it's getting repetitive.
Yeah, well, you will, because I think Universe is around the corner.
Unless it's just a monster from the lagoon, that would be awesome because it's not really been done.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what the concept is on the creature if they do him. But as you alluded to, this is my number one. And it was you couldn't predict what was happening. They moved scare actors. The first time I went through, you saw the Pepper Ghost effects, you know, the mirror. It was the Dracula. And then the second time I went through it, it was the mummy. So they were changing actors in different areas all the way through the house. And that's what made it work perfect for me. Every time I went through, I didn't know which scare actor was coming out. Because the first time I went through, I think I only saw one Wolfman and two Draculas. The rest were all mummies. And that's why I called it Universal Monsters Legends of the Mummy. And then the second time I went round, I saw three Draculas. I think there were three Wolfmen and only two mummies. And the mummies I saw was at the beginning, where he comes out with his amulet on his chest and then winning at the end. So they were mixing things up quite a lot in that house, and it made it work perfect for me. And I'm just a massive Universal Monsters fan, as you can see.
There we go. And so we'll move on to what? You said you're three already, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Not bad. So number two for me, because you've already got mine first, The Weeknd. Now, I kept on telling people, and I'm glad I did this, I didn't watch any of the YouTube videos of the songs. So whatever got changed, and I'm not a massive Weeknd fan, it didn't make a blind difference to me. Because to me, I was just in there. I didn't really care about the music. I was in there to look at the house, and I thought the house looked awesome. I loved the mirror part. I loved the strobe lights. I loved everything in it. I thought some of the masks were cool in there. I liked some of the scenes, what I sort of knew from the past. You know, little bits of The Weeknd. I'm not blind. I've seen him around, so I knew what his stuff was about. So that made it brilliant for me. I feel like a lot of people had expectations because of the YouTube, because of his videos and that.
Yeah.
And you're never going to live up to the video. So I'm so glad that I never watched the videos to spoil it for me. Yeah. So it was just like a brand new house to me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I enjoyed the house. And like saying, it only went down after I saw the video from the original Weeknd.
I also might have been lucky opening because Weeknd. It was the night I went with Donald, met Donald Lane there. Remember the night where you were going to come, didn't the weather was so bad, you decided not to.
Yeah.
So I was in the queue. We got to the front, near the front of the queue. Then we had a 20, 35 minute wait because the house was shut. When my scare actors got a rest, the house got cleaned up. So when they all got back in, there's a few groups before me. Scare actors get back in their room. Boom. So I think I got a fresh bounce of scare actors going and enjoying their job at that point. So I think it just worked out perfect timing for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can figure this out then. My number one was Dead Man's Pier, and yours obviously was Universal Monsters. Now, Dead Man Pier, right, it's not scary. And quite frankly, I couldn't care about scares in this one because I must have gone through this three or four times and I kept on looking around seeing new stuff.
Yeah.
I felt like I was going through a story as well. This was one what felt like an actual story I was going through. And it helped listening to Universal's podcast, knowing the story behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
That made a big difference to me. So Universal, well done for the podcast. I just loved the way everything looked. I felt like I was actually there. I'm looking up, down, left, right, backwards, forwards. It was just stunning. Now, in another year, if there was a few more stunning houses, it may have been lower down the list because of the scares. But nothing really scared me this year, so I couldn't really go by scares. So this, to me, was the most beautiful house I've seen in a long time. And it was just everything was so right about it. I loved how it felt cold in there. You got the fog in there. It felt like winter. It felt like you were actually in a harbour. The female on the violin, that was okay. Seeing the lighthouse from different angles for me is what got me.
Yeah,
because I know with the old scare zone.
Yeah, like I said, it was. I never actually got to see that scare zone because I never went in 26. So, but yeah, it was great. And I can't really say anything else other than what you just said. But I will go on to my number two that I missed before you went to number one.
That's okay, because basically you already had my one before, so go for it.
It was Descendants of Destruction. I had this originally number four. So I had it quite high on the list anyway. Which actually, to be fair, I had my top four were Hellblock Horror, Bugsy Eaten Alive, Universal Monsters and Descendants. So three of my top four stayed in the top four. Quite interesting. But Descendants of Destruction was our night of meeting fellow podcasters, Matt from Neozaz and Catacombs. Hiya.
This is a great transition as well, by the way.
Yeah. It was a past chance. He just said he was in the area. I knew roughly where he stands around at Springfield. We called over, had a chat, and he was there with a couple of his friends, Tim. And unfortunately, I'm just going to call him Rhode Island Guy. I won't mention anything else because I can't remember his name. I'm sorry.
He was a
legend,
police officer or sheriff. So we don't really want to say his name because, mate. Yeah. As you said, if he could pass this on to him, your stories are brilliant. I also want to tell you, you need to make a podcast about your policing stories when you retire, because a podcast or a book, you are going to make loads of money. Yeah. Oh, the stories are unbelievable.
We called over and I finally bought Matt that beer I've been promising him for.
Also came a Funko Pop as well.
Yes. Well, it was... Let me just ask. There was it's been 7 years since I've been trying to buy him his beer. That's how long it's been. So I finally got him the beer and I gave him it was something I got in a mystery box. It was a little Con on the Cloud, not phone call, but something else. If you listen to Catacombs of Halloween Horror Nights and other shows on their network, which is Neozaz, you'll understand where the Con on the Cloud reference came from. And he loved it. We enjoyed it. We stood there for what, maybe 25, 30 minutes, had a beer. Then we got given another beer by Royal Island Guy. And then we decided to go through a house. And the shortage, because me and Matt had an express, no one else did. We looked for the shortest queue, and it was Descendants of Destruction. I hadn't actually been through it yet. I think you've been through it once, hadn't you, before?
Yeah, I'd been through it.
And as we're walking there, Matt was saying to me, was having a chat about different things, and he says, there's something in this house I want you to find, and if you recognize it, let me know. And we're walking through, and I noticed we're walking through the subway. And as soon as I walked in that subway bit, I knew that was from, what's the house called? I forgot. The monkey one, Dead Exposure, Patient Zero. And I think I remembered it. I was quite chuffed because it was hard to remember that subway bit, because it was very, very dark in Patient Zero. And I went through that and we had a massive laugh in the queue. The stories we were getting from Rhode Island State Trooper or whatever he was, Sheriff Tim, having a laugh and a joke with him. Matt, stories from Matt.
Don't forget his army mate as well. He was just as funny.
Yeah, Tim. That's what I mean. I can remember Tim's name because Matt's got another friend called Tim on the Star Wars show. So I can remember Tim's name, but I just can't remember the other guy's name, unfortunately.
It's a shame because I'd actually like to, if the other guy's got Twitter in there, if there's any way, I'd like to follow the guy and get to know him again, because if he comes out next year, I'd like to buy him a beer myself.
Yeah, and then obviously we came out of there, decided let's have another beer. So we had another Dufftoberfest. So we had three Dufftoberfests and that Long Island iced tea before. Don't forget about that one.
Yeah.
And that made me a little bit merrier. And then we decided to start walking out. And
it was also my favourite night.
Yeah. And we were heading towards Universal Monsters. And they went into Universal Monsters and we left. And we went back to the hotel and I was happy. And literally we went there, had a few drinks, one house, and left. And that's what I think Halloween Horror Nights has become for me. It's not about houses, doing that. Just going in there, enjoying yourself with your friends, meeting brand new people you've never met before, and just having a laugh and a joke and just enjoy the atmosphere. And that's what made that house go straight to number two for me, because it brings back these memories of I've finally done something I've been trying to do for 7 years. Then we met two new people who we've never met before. We've got all like a house on fire. And we just had a great night. Well, and we did just get into one house.
Explain what Funko Pop you got him and why.
Well, like I said, I did explain that to her. It wasn't really a Funko Pop. It was something that got in a mystery box called Connor McLeod from Highlander.
Well, that'd be a great house.
And Matt was an advocate of Highlander being a fantastic film. And it don't get me wrong, Highlander is. After that, it goes weird. Highlander, the actual series, the films, and it.
But it they're remaking Matt, Highlander.
It made Matt fall out of. He was an advocate that Highlander is the best film ever. And then it just went downhill after it too. And then Endgame, the game, or whatever it was. And then now the series. And it just said, there could be only one, but then there was more. So it was an ongoing joke over the years. And I believe it's going to be in his office in the Neo's studio. So you're welcome, Matt. Thank you for giving me hours and hours and hours of content. Keep going with Catacombs of Halloween Horror Nights. Hopefully we could collaborate one day. That would be great.
If we get big enough.
And keep going with Star Wars in character, because I really do miss that show. Once a month's fine. Get Chris off his ass and get Chris to do some more shows
Or your state trooper friend do the show with him about his army days, his sniper days, anything like that. I want to hear it all. So talking about people, Simon, as well, who we actually met, I was thinking, I did ask the community out there what people thought of Halloween Horror Nights and Hallow Screams. So there's going to be a bit of Hallow Screams in here. Me and Simon will go in depth in Hallow Screams. And a couple of these people, we are going to ask, come on the show and talk about their experiences at Halloween Horror Nights as well. And also, just a cheap plug, when Gaz comes on, he did an RIP tour.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that as well. So the first person was Craig Willocks. By the way, Craig, it still made me laugh to this day that I didn't tell Simon that you was at the end of the summer photo. And Simon still tells me off for that because he didn't go and say hi to you. Jokes aside, everyone hates this with me right now, my family and a few friends. I am famous for the end of the summer's results because of a group that I run. Well, for 3 weeks, people kept on stopping me or wanting to talk to me. We even did a group photo. So that's the end of summer's unofficial group on Facebook, if anybody's interested. Cheap plug done. But great laugh. Over 8,000 members.
Took you an hour.
Great members. Hey, brought up Epic Phil. People, go and check out Epic Phil. Check out all my vlogs of Halloween Horror Nights and everything else on my 21 nights in Orlando. Some are out now, loads to come. Go and check out Epic Phil. And don't forget to go and check out Simon and Julie on YouTube as well, because he's putting stuff out soon. Cheap plugs out of the way. Here we go, Craig Willocks. Do I put it into his Scottish accent? No.
Don't even try. You can't even do a British accent. Never mind that.
Do a proper southern, Joe accent. No, you know what I'm saying, bruv. All right, anyway. Hi, I think HHN had a lot of potential, but there was just something missing. Totally agree. Maybe it's a lack of the big IP. I agree again. The house has definitely got better, darker, more fog and effects. But overall, it was an average year for me. Not at the level of HHN 28 and 29, what we said earlier. Mm-hmm. Same for the Lagoon Show and Nightmare Field. They weren't as good as the shows at 29. Scare Zones were fine and I enjoyed Sweet Revenge and Graveyard Deadly Unrest. Expanding the Fiend Snacks and Drinks was a good development. You have to even bring that up. Still a great event, but an average year. So I'm going to leave his Hallow Screams one for the next episode, people, because he's actually done it. He's done it separately, so it makes it easier. So Craig, we will be bringing that up. So yeah, we're quick to get to the food, what he said. Yeah, the food was better in the stalls.
Yeah, the food was. There was a lot of inconsistency when it came to quality of some stuff. We didn't eat that much when it came to it. Julie can be a bit fussy when it comes to food. So when she finds something she likes, she'll go back and get the same thing. And every time we went to certain places where we wanted to try the food, some of the queues were ridiculous. There was nearly as long as some of the lines for the houses. So we did skip a lot of the food, but we did get the mac and cheese beef burnt ends and the pork sizzler one, I think it was. And they were gorgeous. I don't really like mac and cheese, but I actually ate that and I enjoyed it. The portions got smaller over the event, I believe. Cheap plug for John Self. Go and check out all his articles on food. He knows more about food than we do.
I might be fat, but I'm not a food expert.
But the food was... They've stepped the food level up, and it's great. It's making it more of an event, and I can't say anything else about the food. All I will do is about the drinks. I didn't have that many of the signature cocktails, but I did have the lacto cooler. I think Joel tasted it as well, and he nearly threw up. But it's a sour beer, and that was the evented beer for that, for the event. I loved it. If I could get that in the UK, I'd drink that all. I wouldn't drink it all the time. One's enough. But yeah, it was nice. That was a nice signature beer that they had for the event.
I like the theming as well. The booths, they actually tried to theme them. It made it look a lot better. So the next one is, as I had to quickly on my phone to check something, is from our friend Joe.
Yeah.
Petey Blinders Joe, you know what I'm saying, bruv? Joe, we want you on an episode so everyone understands why we keep on doing your voice, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have a go at it, bruv. Go on.
Nah, can't do that.
Joe's got the best voice on the planet, to tell you the truth. It's just my opinion. I love it. I think it's brilliant. I'm just jealous because I've got a more softer southern accent. Right. Actually, I'm going to have to do the first part in his voice style because of the way he started it. So, from Joe. Hello, boys. Thoughts on this year, HHN, for the podcast. But Halloween was hands down my favourite, followed by Monsters. Altogether, I thought the event was good, but not a patch on 29. See, too many people, what we've alluded to, meaning the scare zones weren't as enjoyable, and you could see every single scare on the people in front of you in the houses. Yeah, that's a problem. And the Loose Goon show was just meh to me. I have to be honest. Now, obviously, I won't read this next bit out because it goes into next week's episode, but this is what he says. I have to be honest. We had a better time at Hello Scream. Less people there. So we were pulsed through the houses, which was great, apart from one house, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's better than HHN because it's not, but we just felt there were way too many people in the HHN, meaning it lost its scare factor. We've alluded to. It's a great catching up with you two for a beer, though. Cheers, boys. Love the podcast. Cheers, Joe.
Yeah.
Go. As I'm about to cough to death.
Not really much more I could do. If you just put shirt, if you just put screen share up for a sec.
What was that?
If you just put the screen share on for us.
Oh, yeah. I've got no screen share for you, people. Sorry, people. Yeah. I literally asked him, has he got any screen shares?
No,
I haven't, Phil. He's got a screen share.
I know. I'm a pain. I'm an absolute pain.
Right, the screen share is now both of us, mate.
There we go. He wants to know what the elusive Joel looks like. There and he is.
Lovely wife as well.
Yeah, which I do apologize. I'm terrible about names. But, yeah, there you go.
What a shirt that legend, the fat one's wearing.
But yeah, there you go. No, can't really say anything else other than what Joe said. It was right on all accounts. Howl Scream will definitely go into more details because there is some good aspects. There's a good aspects, and there also is some bad aspects as well.
Yep, I totally agree with you. So let's move into our final two bits. What would be, we both did scare out to dine in the same night with the Incredible Wilson, so I'm sure Gaz will come on. Before I do, Joe, Craig, if you want to come on to the show, get in touch with us. We'd love to, especially Craig, you had the long experience like us. Joe, you had a very short time out there, so it'd be interesting to see it from your side. And when we get Gaz back on as well, he did RIP tours and that, and his son Seb did it for the first time ever. So we've got so many things. And we get Donna on, she only had about two times she can go, but she had the weather from hell for her events. So it will be, there he is.
And there's a Craig. The Craig. Yep. That's it now. That's your new nickname. The Craig. There's too many Craigs, so...
So yeah, that's pretty much it. If anybody wants to come on, and anybody else who's been to the event and listens to this show, even from other podcasts, if you want to come on and talk about how you felt about it, I mean, if you disagree with us, if you agree with us, if you just want to put your points of view a bit on a slightly different show than yours, please get in touch with us on Twitter at Epic Haunts. Just direct message us and we'll sort it out. I mean, if one of us can't make it,
we are using Instagram a lot more as well. So
but DMs I just are find open. It, yeah, but it's just easier to DM us on Twitter because Instagram you get so many fake requests.
I'm looking after the Instagram, so I'm enjoying Instagram more than Twitter.
We've also got TikTok, people, at Epic Haunts, but don't always use it, but sometimes we get loads of people viewing our stuff and sometimes we don't. But yeah. Anyway, let's move across to scare shite dining.
Screw up to dining. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's explain this. Well, I was the first one to book it. What
probably and the last one to turn up.
There's reasons for that. But me and Gaz, we were hanging out at Cabana Bay, having a good time at the pool area and that. And then I realized how late it was. And as we was on our way, I realized walking down, oh, I forgot my tickets. So well, my brother and I got on the bus. By the way, from Cabana Bay, my brother got on the bus. He actually got on the bus and left before I crossed the road. Yes, I crossed the road. People see me. I went to Sapphire Falls, got the water taxi, and I still beat him. And I missed a water taxi. I saw one leave as I was there. So to me, the water taxi will always be king for them results there. It's quicker. I get my checks done and I just don't want to mess about. I prefer it over the coaches. Yep. But yeah, so we got there late. So for us, there wasn't much food left. There was no desserts left. It was a complete disaster. My opinion, stock up until you're meant to be ending. You should not be running out of food. I'm sorry, I'm not having it, because people will show up late. I wouldn't be the first. Gaz won't be the last. Simon was only late when it's a group photo, but it happens.
Was never late.
He was late. People, he was late. He was communicating with me. He was late. Well, anyway, scare out to dining. People don't want to hear about Endless Summer Resort. They can, boring.
Let's talk find out who's right or wrong.
Me. Ask the group. They all cheered when Simon showed up.
There are anyway, 10 of them.
Yeah, well.
12. 13 or whatever.
There's quite a lot of people, and there would have been about 20, but a group had to go to SeaWorld and do that dolphin thing.
Oh, Discovery Cove.
Yeah, so they wanted to be there for the photo. They were really good, and they did a photo on their own at Discovery Cove. So, by the way, anybody who's from my End of Summer's group who showed up for that photo and who said hi to me, jokes aside, wow, shocked. I mean, I'm just a little man who just runs a group for the End of Summer's hotels. I'm nothing special, and I was shocked how many people wanted to get to know me. So I mean, there was one woman come up to me, she got all giddy, she wanted selfies and everything. I was totally out of my comfort zone, but I kind of enjoyed it. Right, scare actor dining. Me first, as I said, I got there late and I wasn't happy with the food. I thought the photo thing was rubbish, and I thought the whole area didn't look themed at all. I felt like it was all put together and they decided to do this at the last minute.
Yeah. Comparing to the last go back to that I did, there was, I'd say, about a tenth of the square actors that was in the last one. We had interactions. If I compare it to the one that I did in 27, we had Sam, these other couple of actors, they had people from The Purge, they had actors everywhere. This one, I think we had three square actors wandering around. We had Michael Myers on his own, and the mummy on his own.
Let's get this straight. Let's just say straight. The scare actors walking around, the three that had, one of them was Mare, the lady, I'm guessing is from the Coven House. Spirits of
the Coven, I think.
Yeah. The other one who was in the mask and was meant to be like a little kid with a baseball bat was funny.
Yeah.
And that, the woman from the woman who was from El Chupacabras, as you said, she made it better for you because she explained everything. She had a chat with people. So I'm not going to moan about Michael Myers, the scare actor. I don't know who you were at the time. I don't know if you've had a bad day or something, but you just didn't seem bothered. I know Michael Myers is meant to be still in that, but you didn't seem to want to do the photos. You just were having a bad day. It's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
but as I say, the worst thing.
Yeah, the food was okay. At least it wasn't pizza or just pizza anyway. But the food was okay. I've had better, I've had worse. Does it warrant the $55? No. It was too light. If they darken the, because where we were sat, it was just blasting sunning, so you couldn't really see much anyway. It needed to be a little bit darker. I enjoyed it when it was in Universal Monsters Cafe because that's perfectly themed. Yeah, but it was, you grabbed your food, you literally walked in, you grabbed your food, you went and sat down wherever you wanted. This one, you were guided in.
Yeah, by some reason, people didn't need to be there.
For some reason, they were putting groups of like me and Julie, two of us on a group on a table for four when there were tables for two available. I just didn't get that bit.
Yeah, and then they put me and the Incredible Wilsons on a table that was quite small, so it made it kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I think there was eight of you, was there, altogether?
Seven.
Six. And then tables are small. But you did have another YouTuber sat outside of you, Walden Micah. He was sat at the side of you, but Drew's
girl was behind him.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that? I could have got his photo. Could have got a selfie with a man. I mean,
yeah, because if you watch his Screw Out to Dining and pause it for a split second, you can see me and Julie queuing up for the Universal, the Monster, the Mummy, when he's doing his bit of a walking around.
Yeah, so. I mean, and the Mummy one was probably the best photo opportunity in there.
Yeah, because it was in clothes and it had a bit of a set around it where Michael Myers won. It was a
Michael Myers. I didn't understand. How did he miss the opportunity not to be half behind the bush for the photo?
I don't know.
I mean, that's just an iconic scene from the movies. And it's like, why is he not doing this? Or she? But you can see I like Michael Myers. I've got him up. So, Scare Out to Dining for me, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10.
I'll give it middle of the road, 5, to be fair.
Yeah, you're just too nice.
Well, the thing is, what annoyed me the most, why it's... Actually, no, you're right. I'm going to give it 4, because I just remembered what actually happened when we walked in. She literally walked us in and sat us down at the table and then walked off.
That happened to us as well. Like, we're meant to know where to go.
Didn't say anything. Didn't say, oh, your food's over there. Just go and grab your food when you want. Come and sit back down. The Screw Actors will be coming. It was literally, oh, yeah. Can you show these people to the guy at the desk was great. He actually went up to him and sort of said that you were running late. And he said, oh, yeah, it's no worries. When they get here, we'll put them together. It's fine. But then we got guided in and she just went, right, you sat there and then walked off. I'm like, well, what do we do? Because I knew what to do because I'd done it before. But if you didn't know what you was doing, you could have just sat there and go, well, what do? Do I go and get the food? Do people bring me food?
Yeah.
A bit of communication would have been great. And that's all it takes is, oh, by the way, you sit here, it's grab and go. So grab what you want. Go up and get your pictures with your actors.
Simon, it's just gone down to 3.5 with me because I've decided them people. Why couldn't they have been dressed up? They didn't have to be in proper Halloween, but they could have had better looking clothes for this, I feel like. Yeah. So 3.5. Well done, Gaz. Well, actually, his amazing wife. She did brilliant. Gaz, kill me because I just forgot your wife's name.
Christy.
I can't believe we've just done that. Guys, it's late at night. I'm forgetting things. Sorry, Christy. You're a legend in my eyes. And what made... I'll put it back up to 4 because of Seb punching my arm and actually make it entertaining in there for me.
I did actually see that punch. And he gave you a good old whack a couple of times.
He gave me quite a few times. I made sure he did it. A good kid, Seb. I love the kid. I think he's brilliant. Absolute star. I love what Christy did as well. There was no desserts left. So she went up and made them bring cookies and everything out for Seb. Well done, Christy. I wish I did that. But that is the same night we had to do yet again express passes because of it. What alluded, because when we first walked in there, we didn't have time to wait. We wanted to get express passes, but we had to rush in because we were late. Yeah. The time we came out, they'd run out the whole event of express passes. So
on Sunday.
And Joe, thank you very much, because he's the one who messaged us to say to us, Phil, 11 p.m. express passes are out. He told me where to go outside Kimmel. Unfortunately, that person still decided not to work. So I had to zoom all the way over to Fast and Furious, but it wasn't a problem. I got them and it did. I must agree. If I could afford it, I'd have express passes all the time. It does make a massive difference. That's how I got into Halloween that night and also Blumhouse, because we skipped most of the line.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I went to Islands of Adventure because some idiot is still... I'll have to put it on this show because we won't put it on the other one. I took the wrong annual passes to Universal. I took my old ones that expired 2 years ago. So luckily, I had them on my phone. So I do highly recommend get the Universal app, put all, everything on it, log in, put all your things, because it got me in, it got Julie in. We went to Islands of Adventure. And while we were there, I said, I need my new annual passes because I've left my old one. Brought me old ones, left me new ones, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, no worries. So the Princess of Summer. And while we're there, he says, is there any chance we could upgrade Rush for Fear Pass to Rush for Fear with Express? Nothing was a problem. He did it straight away. And we got express with Rush Rafia. Oh, actually, I'm going to knock Screw Back to Dining down to three. Because he actually states on that ticket, please call to make sure your reservation. I didn't have an American number. I couldn't ring out on my phone to an American number because it would have cost me money. Guy, as a venture, his name eludes me, but I have put you or fist bump out for him, and it's been passed on. He actually rang them up and says, yes, they need to make a reservation. So they put him through to the reservation places through, I think it was Louis. He says, no, they've already got a reservation because the tickets are, they booked the time. So on the ticket, it tells you need to make a reservation. But you don't need to make a reservation because you've already got one because you booked it at a time slot. Make the system simpler.
It's simple. American. I'm sorry, but, American, but I find like your system's very old. Yeah, so
you're down to three now, Screw Back to Dining.
But I've got
go in the toilet, you're one. Waste of time, get rid of it. Don't bring it back.
Next time I'll drive out for Burger King. Quick question, Simon, before we do go and give the rating of the show. I'm just looking at next year's dates. Now, I'm planning to fly out September the 16th. But would I be able to have a Rush Rafia because October the 1st falls on a Sunday?
So will Rush Rafia?
No. Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Well, it depends on when the event starts. Looking at the dates.
It could start Friday the 1st.
Yeah, it probably will. It probably will. It'd be the first four weekends. So it'll be what date's the last Sunday? 24th, is it?
The last Sunday is the 24th, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be up to the 24th.
It's so confusing. I don't want that pass again when I can't do Saturdays. So maybe I change my holiday to the 9th of September. I haven't booked yet, by the way, people. And that'll take that will take me to the 23rd, and that will definitely get Rush Rafia.
Yeah.
I need to talk to my family about that because obviously that's a bit wrong. Oh, bit of good news, though, guys, people. I wasn't going to the Mousetrap next year, but I am now. Basically because of Hurricane Ian, my 14-day pass, we only used, I believe, 4 days. It was unbelievable. And I've got 10 days for free to use by the end of September next year.
Yeah. So if you were there or you had active tickets, not that you was there, if your tickets weren't fully used, because don't forget you get 3 weeks to use them, check your tickets on My Disney Experience and look at the expiry date. You might save yourself a small fortune for next year.
And yes, I did do Mickey's Not So Scary very quickly because we're not going to do a podcast on it. I enjoyed it. Ryan from Theme Park Traders. So it was packed. To me, it was empty when I went. So
I enjoyed it. I actually got on everything I wanted to get on. The only thing I didn't get on was Haunted Mansion because it was a 35-minute wait, which...
And I got a lot
of candy. My own fault for not waiting 35 minutes because it's...
We got bags of candy. So there you go.
It's not just that. Phantom Manor's better than Haunted Mansion. At me if you want.
Anyway... That is almost it now. So we're going to get to the final part. We're going to give our ratings. So out of 10, Simon, what is your rating for Halloween Horror Nights 31 overall as an event?
7.
Simon's nicer than me. I'll give it a 6. 6. 6. It was a 6.
It's a 7 just because of what we made it with meeting people. Friends, having a drink.
If I didn't meet you lot and I didn't meet, you know, that drinking night and everything, it would have been a 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's for me. But it gets a lot of points because I've now got a lot of memories from this event from meeting people, meeting yourself again. Joe, Craig.
Get rid of me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, literally, we're back 2 weeks and went and saw you down your end. So.
And we were, as I said, we'll be doing a podcast now, people. Well, I gave it a 5. 6, either. I would give it a 5.
So in between us, as Epic Halls, it's an average of 6.5. Yeah. Take it as what you want.
Yeah, so I would say, people who are thinking, why are you so down in it? Why are you going to the events? Just because I didn't like this specific one doesn't mean I don't love the event. And because I'm down on certain things in it doesn't mean I'm just a miserable man. It just means I know they can do better. And I want it to be better again. I love Halloween Horror Nights and I'm going next year. And I've got a feeling a lot of problems was this year, as I said, the IPs. I think, as Simon alluded to, the crowds were back because so many people from abroad were back for the first time this year. Well, I think it'll be a lot calmer next year.
Yeah. I'm possibly going to be taking the season off from Halloween Horror Nights next year. But I will be doing a lot more UK stuff. So,
well, I will probably do one in the UK, but I'll do Halloween Horror Nights and Hello Scream. Yeah. So, as an event, still a solid event. Scare Actors, you've done fantastic for what you had with what you had to work with. All the other people working there as well, let's not forget them. I always hear people saying, well done, Scare Actors and all that, but everyone working in the food court, from the cleaners to everybody, the people who put it all together, thank you so much. Just because it wasn't my favourite doesn't mean I didn't enjoy my time there.
No, that's what I mean. We enjoyed the event. It just wasn't to the standard that we usually expect.
But also, is it because we were expecting too much and hoping too much because we haven't been able to get there for 2 years? The excitement levels, we put it at, you know, normally we might have gone, if we had the 2 years in between, we might have said, I might have gave it a 7 or an 8 out of 10. We don't know, people. But I will be back next year, no matter what. If Simon can make it out for a weekend, that'd be awesome. There's no guarantee. But if he can make it out, we will do it together again. And I'll do Hello Scream again. On the next episode, right, guys, we are talking about Hello Scream. Now, let me tell you, you're not going to be happy with what I think of Monster Stomp. I think it's the most overrated thing. I will tell you why. So there's a little spoiler. And why some bits of the event upset me. But Simon's told me what happened at the first one. I think I can understand what they're trying to do. They're still trying to get their film. But that is Hello Scream's next one at Orlando SeaWorld, not Busch Gardens. We didn't do that. So don't miss that episode, because if you think I moaned on this one, you may not want to listen to children, because I'm not going to lie, I am going to swear on the next episode. Yeah,
that'll be one of our possibly explicit ones that we won't be beeping out.
Okay. So I did enjoy. As I said, you follow us. Warned. Follow us on all the socials at Epic Haunts. How simple is that? Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Obviously, we're on all great podcast apps out there. Please give us a rating on all the podcast apps out there. It helps us grow. Share us out to people and groups and anything you can think of who may be interested. Send us voice notes on Anchor. Every once in a while, we'll share the Anchor link on Twitter. So send us voice notes through and everything. As I said, we've got so much coming, guys. We've got Hello Screams. We've got, say, the events you're done doing.
We've got Tully's Shocktoberfest, Scare City Experience, which is about Park and Party, and Fear Factor Live.
So many from the UK. So you'll be amazed. And I'm honestly saying to the people in America, listen to these. And if we have photos now, we'll try and share, because the UK way of doing it is very interesting. I found out. I've never been a fan of it. I've never wanted to do it until I went with Simon. And now I'm addicted. And I think there's some things we do better.
Yeah. If you want to watch what the Scare City experience is, the one that I did, go over to my YouTube channel, Simon and Julie. And it's the Scare City experience opening week, opening night. Video. Yeah. It's going for the world's longest trail. And it possibly just done it. But it was a great night. And that is how I think the UK should start to look at.
Well, what I say as well, Simon, if you could, around, say, the 18th to 20th, share it on Twitter as well, to Epic Haunts Twitter. So if people can't find Simon and G for some reason, the link will be there. And I'm saying that now because, even though we're recording on the 14th, the time this comes out, I don't want him to share it beforehand. New stuff take over and we lose it in the shuffle.
I'll just attach it. I'll just put it underneath the original tweet.
And as I say, you can follow me also on my stuff. As I say, I'm Epic Phil on YouTube. I've got loads of vlogs out now and coming out. Halloween Horror Nights, Hello Screams, all the theme parks and that, Florida Mall and that, all that stuff. Go and check out Epic Phil. I'm doing okay. I've got 566 subscribers. I'm trying to hit 1,000. So if anybody can help me, please do. I mean, you'll see Tenerife stuff, but right now we are in the Orlando series.
If you're watching this from Epic Phil and you're watching this, subscribe to this one as well. Let's try and get them a little bit closer.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I would like to see this grow. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's EpicPhil666. I think it's the same on TikTok. I'm quite lazy on TikTok on that as well. I am on Instagram, but as I've alluded to earlier, I'm very lazy. But if you just put EpicPhil in, you find it. And YouTube, just write in the word EpicPhil. And so happens I show up quite easy lately. So, yeah. And Simon, what's your Twitter handles?
Mine is Simon and Julie at Twitter and Simon and Julie 15 on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram.
I'm starting to tweak a little few photos that I've taken, and they're getting a lot of love. So if you like to see some Florida pictures every so often, follow on there, like it, follow me, and you'll get to see some nice photos of Florida.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. See you on the next episode. Be epic, and as Simon loves to say,
stay spooky. Bye bye.
Tatty bye bye.
I was waiting for that.